All right. Good morning. Let me get myself situated. How's everybody? What was it? I heard something that somebody said something wasn't good. What did they say? Hot. Okay. That's really, it is pretty warm in here. My hands are really clammy. I don't know if it's because I'm nervous or if it's warm or both, but regardless. Well, good morning again. Excited to be here. We are talking about, we're on the book of Acts, and our subject is Empowered Together, and I get to talk about Acts 3. And as I was reading through it, I was trying to figure out a title, and I had like 17 different titles. And I chose Extraordinary Healing, because throughout Acts 3, there's some really extraordinary things that are happening, and God really touched me as I prepared for this message. And so I'm hoping that, just like Melissa was saying during the worship time, I'm hoping that your hearts are prepared for this, and that's what I've been praying for you, and I'm excited for what God's going to do. We don't know what he's going to do, but we know he's going to do something. Amen? Amen. So I'm going to say a prayer first, and then I'd like to get started. Father, thank you that you are present. Thank you that you are the great physician, you are the great healer, and we're going to learn about someone that you healed, but there's so much more to it. And I'm so grateful for the book of Acts and what you did through your Holy Spirit at this time. And I pray that you would move in this room in your Holy Spirit in our lives, that you would bring healing to our souls and to our hearts and our minds today. May this message touch hearts and minds, and you would be glorified in it. Amen. Raise your hand if you've heard of Sherlock Holmes. Yeah, if you haven't, then you need to learn about him, because he's a really cool character. Raise your hand if you know the name, Joseph Bell, Dr. Joseph Bell. Raise your hand if you know that name. All right, I know something more than all of you guys. Dr. Joseph Bell is actually the real Sherlock Holmes. So Sherlock Holmes was based on Dr. Joseph Bell and his observational powers. Yeah, why do I bring this up? Because in the book of Acts, in chapter 3, we see that Peter and John notice someone that has been in this same place for years and years and years, and they actually notice him. And very much like Sherlock Holmes, he'll notice a speck of dust on the ground or a footprint, and that'll solve the murder mystery. And you're like, what? How did he go from that footprint to now we know it's Mr. Smith that did the murder? I don't get how it works, but his observational powers are phenomenal. Mine, not so much. I've been walking through my house for 6 years now, and when we moved in, we did some remodeling, and we were supposed to do some backsplashes. We did about half of them. I walk by I go into the bathroom that has no backsplashes probably, I don't know, 20 to 30 times a week, and I don't even notice that there's no backsplashes. Right? It's just part of my routine. It's just part of what is happening in that spot. There's things that my kids want from me. They show up in my space. Have you ever had that where someone just shows up in your space and you're like, get out of my space? This is my space right now. They do that, but what they want is they want my attention. They want me to pay attention to what's going on with them and give them the attention they deserve. But they're breaking my routine, and they're kind of just in my way at that moment. Sorry, Annalise. There's like 20 of us that work together. We work remotely, but in my workplace, there's people from across the country and actually across the world. And so some of them I get to talk to consistently, and some of them I see every once in a while, you know, once a quarter or something. But I forget their names, and I forget what they do, right? They're kind of lost in the routine of what I'm up to. I don't think that God wants that for us. I think he wants us to catch the nuances and the details and be paying attention to what's going on around us and then engaging in it in the way that he would lead us to engage in it. And I think in Acts chapter 3 here, we're going to see that in really powerful ways. So a first question I have for you is simply this. What if God has something extraordinary for you today? And I really like the word extraordinary. Because all of our days are generally just ordinary, right? Is anybody having a really crazy, weird day today? Nobody? Everybody's having a pretty much ordinary day. Well, what if God wanted your day to be a little bit extraordinary, a little bit extraordinary, a little bit different, and you get to have a different experience today? That's my heart for you this morning, and I believe through Acts chapter 3, what we're going to learn here, that God will do that. In Acts chapter 3, I'm going to read through this in a moment. I think that the people that are going into the temple, I think the beggar that's sitting at the gate, and I think Peter and John, they're all having just normal, ordinary days. They're just doing their thing. John and Peter are going into the temple complex during a prayer time. It's just a normal day for them. But God's going to move in really extraordinary ways. So in Acts chapter 3, we read, one day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man who was lame from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. Several things I want to point out here. First of all, Peter and John were just going into the temple complex for prayer. They're just going in there, and you know they're going to evangelize. You know they're going to share about Jesus. But this wasn't some extraordinary thing they were planning to do. They're just going on a normal day, 3 in the afternoon, which is a very busy time, but they were going in there. And they walked by this man, this beggar, that had been put there, I think somewhere I remember reading that he's 40 years old. He'd been there, put there 40 years. He's just this fixture, this piece of a routine that hundreds of people would walk by every day. Just like I walk by the situations in my life. I don't see the backsplash, or I don't notice the things that my kids want them to pay attention to. There's all these routines. Have you ever, when I was in high school, I would drive home from my girlfriend's house, and I'd get home, and I would forget how in the world I got home. All of a sudden, I'd be home. Have any of you ever experienced that before, where you're driving from one location to the next, and all of a sudden, you're at the next location? You're like, how did I get here? It's just this time lapse. It's because I was in the middle of a routine. And no, I was not drunk. I promise. I was not drinking. But we just get into this routine. And it's easy to let the things that matter to God pass us by. And I think that this is one of the illustrations, one of the points that God is trying to make to us this morning. So they walk, they see this man, and they take note of him. The other thing I want to point out is that he was, every single time, he couldn't get there himself. His ankles and his feet, as we learn, they didn't function. And so there's no way he got himself there. So every day, there were people that had to deliver him to this spot. That's also a big deal, because we have people in our lives that carry us, and we carry other people at times as well. And so he's in front of this gate that has a ton of traffic all the time. And then we read, when he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, look at us. So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. So here's how I picture it. It's 3 p.m. It's probably hot. It's very busy. And this man is begging all kinds of people. He has probably some sort of a container for people to put money into. And he's reaching out, asking people. And he happens to ask Peter and John. And so he makes eye contact with them, asks them, and looks away and continues to ask people. That's what I'm picturing. I don't think he stares at them and is asking for money. I think there's bunches of people walking by. And I think that's why Peter says, look at us. Because he's already moved on. The beggar has already moved on. And Peter wants him to give them his full attention. And so Peter says, look at us. So then the man gives them his full attention. I think about my prayers, and I think about how when we spend time with the Lord, we're praying, and we're asking for prayers, and then our attention goes somewhere else, and it goes somewhere else, and it goes somewhere else, and God's over here going, look at me, I have something for you, pay attention to me. And so, sometimes we do, sometimes I do, but Peter makes it very clear. He says, look at us, and so now we've got these three men locking eyes, they're looking at each other. And the beggar is waiting for the money to come. That's what he's expecting. And I love that expectation. When I pray, what am I expecting? Am I expecting an answer? Or am I just throwing out a prayer and not expecting anything in return? I think God always answers our prayers. He may not answer exactly the prayer that I prayed in the way that I asked, but he's going to answer that prayer. And it's going to be perfect. And what this man gets is absolutely remarkable, as we'll learn. So I want to ask you first, how are you like the beggar? Right? How are you in your body? You know, maybe physically right now you're experiencing some lameness, to use the language in Scripture. Maybe in your heart and your mind you're experiencing just this feeling of need in your life. And you've been seeking all kinds of different ways to get it. But God is saying, look at me, I have the solution for you. Maybe that solution is healing, maybe it's not, I don't know. But God has a solution for you. Now, how are you like Peter and John? As this man sits at the gate, and we know that Peter and John probably walked by this man many a times, because they would go into the temple complex with Jesus when they were being discipled by him. And Jesus walked by him many times, which we'll get back to in a little bit, as to why did Jesus kind of ignore this man? But they notice him this time, right? So there's things in your life today that are going to be routine that maybe God wants you to notice, and he wants to point out to you so that you can do something for him or hear a word from him. And Peter and John are bold in this moment. Look at us. We have something for you. They're going to talk about in a moment here. Can we be bold like that too, knowing that God is going to provide through us something potentially extraordinary? So then we read in Acts 3:6-8, it says, then Peter said, silver or gold I do not have. Okay, so if I'm the guy sitting on the ground, I've been there for years and years and years, and it's another person that's going to be giving me something, I'm expecting money. And then immediately the guy says, I don't have money for you. And I'm going to be like, come on. I'm looking at you. I'm giving you my attention. Why aren't you going to give me money? There's this flash of disappointment. And I think in a metaphorical way, we have this experience with God when we ask for something, he doesn't give it to us. And then if we lose sight of what's next, we don't realize the blessing that's about to come. We miss the blessing that's about to come. So then immediately after this phrase, Peter says, but what I do have, I give you in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Now this man's going, wait, what's happening? What is he going to give me? And then he says, walk. That's a shock. He's expecting silver and gold. And then Peter offers him the ability to walk, which he's never been able to do before. 40 years of being delivered to the same spot. And now all of a sudden, this man comes up and says, hey, you want to walk? Come on. And he reaches out. He says, taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. I don't know how faith works. I don't. But in my mind, I'm picturing that as Peter reached out and as this man reached out, it's like in that moment, it's like their faith came together, and this man was trusting in God and Peter was trusting in God, and the healing happened. I don't know. It seems like that. Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles, it's like he said it, the hands reached to each other, and then his feet and ankles were healed completely. I'm not sure how it works, but I do know how it works when we're saved. I do know that when we commit ourselves to God, when we reach out to him, spiritually speaking, and we commit ourselves to him, we are instantly, completely, and fully healed and saved. Amen? Amen, right? This is such a wonderful metaphor of our spiritual relationship. But I also believe God can move in our lives in a physical way like he did in this man's life. And my prayer this morning has been that he would move in your guys' lives and some of your lives this morning to heal you physically as well as to bring spiritual healing and renewal. So what does this man do? He jumps to his feet and he goes and runs into the temple court with them praising God. Here's my question. What is your response to God's extraordinary healing and intervention in your life? God is doing remarkable things in our lives. If we just pay attention to them. If we can be that Sherlock Holmes for a day, I guarantee every single person in this room will notice amazing things that God is doing. I heard Holly say a prayer this morning that mentioned eagles and seeing the eagles. That was an extraordinary thing for her. God touched her heart in that way. Sorry to call you out there. That's beautiful. That's the type of thing that God can do in our lives, point those things out. But he also does very obvious things like healing. He can heal. Or he can interrupt things in our lives that we expected to happen but don't happen, or he wanted to happen and they do happen. He interjects himself in our lives in absolutely extraordinary ways. And I want to encourage all of us to keep our eyes open for those extraordinary happenings in our lives. So this man's response was leaping and singing and praising God. And my hope is that I would do the same and that you guys would do the same. Then we get to verses 9 and 10. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. I'm going to tell you a story. So I have a coaching friend that I work with, and we're going through this training together. And he's 51 years old, and he's having his first granddaughter. And so he's really excited about this, and he can't be at this session that we're both supposed to be at, and so I'm kind of substituting for him. And I'm really happy because he's about to have his first granddaughter, and he's super stoked. And I've been dripping in all these conversations about Jesus and speaking to him about Jesus. And he has some sort of a belief, and I think he might be Mormon or was Mormon. I'm not quite sure. But I've been dripping in these truths as we've had opportunities to share. And God really tugged on my heart because I reached out to him that day knowing that his daughter was about to have the baby. And I said, hey, is there anything we can pray for? Well, she had already had the baby, but the baby was really struggling to breathe. It had the umbilical cord wrapped around her neck. And so she was not thriving. She was really struggling to breathe. And so I'm like, hey, well, I can pray for that. And then I reached out to a few people in this church and asked them to pray. And he was so grateful that I even offered to pray. And then I think there was four of us that were praying for him. We just did it on our own time. I'd text him back roughly 24 hours later. And he messages me and says, she's totally fine. She's doing great. Thank you so much for the prayers. And his daughter was deeply moved by our prayers for her child. She has no idea who we are. We really have no idea who she is. But this is the type of thing, this is an extraordinary thing that God can do, right? He moved in this little infant's life, touched the heart of the mom and the grandpa. He was very, very happy about this. He was so grateful that we would do something like that. That's the extraordinary in the mundane. That's the ordinary thing that I could have passed up and just been like, oh yeah, I'll pray for you. But no, because God pricked my heart, nothing special about me, but God touched me and said, pray for them. And so I did and brought in other people and God touched their hearts and we prayed for them, and that was an extraordinary thing that happened. And who knows what's gonna happen with his daughter in terms of her faith. So faith and taking action as Peter and John did can look all kinds of different ways. That is just one really simple way that God moved. So again, now we have Peter and John walking into the temple with this man, and he is jumping for joy because he has been healed. I mean, who of us wouldn't be? We're going to be beside ourselves with excitement if this were to happen. But I want to point out here the timing. It's very interesting to me that Jesus very likely walked by this man a number of times during his ministry. But he didn't heal him. Of course he could have, but he chose not to. And if you're sitting in here, or like myself standing here, and have some sort of an ailment going on in your body that God hasn't healed yet, who knows? God's timing is perfect. And what I want to tell you right now, and what I'm saying to myself, is God will heal you, 100% guaranteed. Will he heal you today? I don't know. Will he heal you tomorrow? I don't know. Will he heal you in this life? I don't know, but when you get your new body, you will be healed. And that is a 100% guarantee, and I praise the Lord for that because I'm looking forward to that new body. I'm not that old, but I'm getting older, and I'm looking forward to that new body that he's going to provide. But as we go along, there's an even greater healing that I want to talk about that is far greater than any physical experience, any physical change that we can have. So then we look at Acts 11 to 13, and we read, "While the man held on to Peter and John, all the people were astonished and came running to them in the place called Solomon's Colonnade." Two big things right here. He's jumping for joy, but he's also holding on to Peter and John. And I love the metaphor here of Peter and John representing Jesus. And we are the lame man that was just healed. When God heals us, when he moves in our lives, what are we holding on to? Are we clinging to God or are we clinging to something else? For me, when I read this, God was like, cling to me. I'm the one that's moving in your life. I'm the one that's healing you. I'm the one that's providing. I'm the one that's doing all these things. Glorify me. Cling to me. And then when you cling to him, then out of that celebration, God's presence is known and shown. The second part about this sentence is they're in this place called Solomon's Colonnade, which is this really strategic location. Because it puts Peter and John in this place where literally thousands of people can hear what Peter's about to share. So we have this perfect time, and Jesus didn't heal this man, I believe, because this is why right here. This man comes into the temple. It's very busy. It's 3 p.m. They're all in there for prayer, and then he's jumping up and down. It's going to be a quiet, kind of solemn time. Now he's screaming and yelling and praising God. Do you think people are going to pay attention? You think they're going to notice? So now people are drawn to this. What's going on? Who is this man? And now they know this man because he's been there for 40 years, lame, broken. And now he's healed. Now he's screaming and yelling. And it's a very busy time. And he's clinging to Peter and John. So everybody's like, what in the world's going on? So Peter and John put themselves in a strategic position where at least hundreds of people can hear what they have to say. And so now Peter, the fisherman, who could hardly speak, couldn't articulate super well until recently. Just weeks ago, he got the Holy Spirit, right? We have Pentecost, and the Holy Spirit comes, and now all of a sudden, he's this amazing preacher. And he says this, "Fellow Israelites, why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power of godliness we had made this man walk?" So there's a danger here when God does things in our lives that we take credit. And as you see here, Peter is already deflecting that credit. At this time, the apostles are, as you read forward in Scripture, you notice that people try to worship them a bit. And Peter's like preempting this and saying, no, this is Jesus' work. But there's a question here that I think is great to ask ourselves. When we pray to God and we ask him to do something extraordinary in our lives, or maybe just something ordinary, are we surprised when he shows up? I have to admit, sometimes I am, and I shouldn't be. Like, God's going to show up every single time in his perfect way. And then he says, "Why do you stare at us as if by our own power of godliness we made this man walk?" We don't do anything in the Spirit in our own power. God is the one moving through us, and he did the same in Peter. So my question, are you surprised when God heals? Or expectant of his extraordinary healing power and might? I pray that as you hear this message this morning and you read it in Scripture, not only this chapter, but many other chapters of Jesus doing remarkable things and the apostles through the Holy Spirit doing remarkable things, that we would no longer be surprised but expectant of what God is going to do. Then we get through verses 13 and 16, and Peter lays it on him. Basically, he lays it on him. He's slapping him around. This is the verbal slap of the message. He tells them, "You handed him, Jesus, over to be killed. You disowned the righteous one. You chose to murder him. You chose to murder him, and you chose a murderer over him. You killed the author of life, but God raised him from the dead. By faith in the name of Jesus, this man is completely healed. Peter's saying, you guys took the one, you took the one that actually healed this man, and you murdered him just weeks ago. This was roughly 50 to 55 days ago is when Jesus had died on the cross or was resurrected. And Peter's like, this man is healed because of the one that you murdered. Whew. This is pretty heavy. My guess is it's pretty quiet at this time. There's probably a hush, as they say. And then he softens the blow. He says, now, fellow Israelites, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your leaders. But this is how God fulfilled what he had foretold through all the prophets, saying that his Messiah would suffer. What I want to point out is, Peter is preaching to me as well in this moment. I don't know if there's a song that just came to mind, but there's a lyric that talks about putting the nail into Jesus' hands and the spear into his side. Like, I did that. My sins did that. And your sins did that. And I'm not here to guilt you or shame you for any of that, because Jesus took care of that on the cross and his resurrection. But Peter's preaching to me in this, and it was striking to me as I read through this message, or through this passage. But what I want to say is, this lame man, who had been consistently delivered to that gate by his friends, first of all, what a beautiful thing to be his friends and see this healing. Right? He's healed. And every day they're bringing him there to just get some money so he can survive. But now they get to see their friend healed. What a beautiful thing. And I think God would call us to do that for each other too. Bring our friends, our family members before God and pray for them, battle for them. Every day consistently fighting for them. And that's what they did. And God answered. I don't know if they prayed for him or not, but God can answer our prayers. But more importantly, there's even more extraordinary healing power that can happen in our lives. That healing power doesn't just restore your feet and your ankles like it did for this man, but that healing power restores your soul. Yeah, praise the Lord. And I still remember very vividly, and I've shared my testimony up here before, so I don't need to go all the way through it, but I still remember very vividly being in Mexico, 16 years old, standing on kneeling on a wrestling mat as the worship band is telling us to be quiet and listen to what the Lord would have to say to us. Somebody screaming out Jesus and me going, wait a second, I just need to receive his forgiveness and I'm going to be fully healed and made complete. And I did. And he has changed my life forever. He healed me of all the sin. He healed me of all the brokenness in my life. And this morning, that's what he has for you as well. We learn of the physical healing of this beggar, but what's so much more powerful that Jesus has done for many of us in this room is heal our souls, heal us from damnation, right? From separation from God. So then Peter tells them this. He says, repent then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of a refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send his Messiah who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. So Peter says, repent, turn away from your sins, and turn to Jesus. And even in this moment right now, for me, I need to consistently still do that, to turn from my sins. And if you don't know Jesus yet this morning, I would ask you to consider what it would be like for you to turn and repent and go to this extraordinary healer, the Messiah who died on the cross for you and conquered death so you can have a relationship with him forever. So what can we do? Right, we hear this story. We learn of what Peter and John did. We learn of what the friends did as they brought this man to the gate. We learn of Peter and John being obedient and listening to the prompting of Jesus. We learn of them being courageous and speaking to all these listeners, all these people that were in the temple gate. We learn of the man who was leaping and praising God, giving Jesus all the credit. We learn of Peter and John making sure that they don't receive any credit but give all glory to God. Those are many things that we can do right now for Jesus. But what I want to encourage you to do right now is to turn to Jesus in expectation of extraordinary healing for your body and your soul. Maybe that healing is physical. Maybe that healing is just some sort of mindset or thought patterns that you've been having. Maybe that healing is emotional. Or maybe you don't know Jesus fully in your life yet. Or maybe you've fallen away a little bit when you want to draw near to him again. And that healing is for your soul and that healing is spiritual. So we have an opportunity right now to turn to Jesus in expectation of this extraordinary healing. If you don't know Jesus today and want to turn your life over to him and experience healing that goes far beyond your body and heals your soul, we have these altars up front. And I want to encourage you to come up to the altar. There's a few people in the congregation that will pray with you and offer you encouragement. But if you know your Savior and feel like that beggar at the gate and want to receive whatever healing Jesus has for you today, whether it's the mind, the heart, your body, I also ask you to come up to the altars and pray. And we'll have people pray for you as well. So as we close this service, I'm going to pray. And as I pray, I would ask any of you to come forward. And the worship team is going to play a final song. When they're done with the song, if you're still in here, I will definitely be in here as long as needed. And the other prayer team members will be in here as long as needed for you to receive prayer, to connect with God. But I do urge you and encourage you to come up to the altars and pray. So Father, we thank you for your might, for your power, for your extraordinary healing. And God, today is just an ordinary day for us, just like it was an ordinary day for that lame man. It was an ordinary day for the people in the temple complex. It was an ordinary day for Peter and John. But God, you are a God of extraordinary. You do mighty works at any time, in any place. There is no parameters around when you're going to do amazing and mighty things, God. And you're always doing them, and we're so grateful for that. So Father, I pray for the people in this room that are even considering coming up. I pray that you would give them courage to come up here to receive prayer. I pray that you would touch their hearts, their bodies, their minds, and their spirits in mighty ways and move in their lives so deeply, God, that this becomes an extraordinary day because of you, God, and that you, Jesus, would get all the glory and receive all the credit, God. So I thank you for the opportunity to share this message. I thank you for how you moved in the life of this man 2,000+ years ago, and I pray you would move deeply in the lives of people here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.